Good morning all. Today, as I said at the beginning of Mass, is Laetare or Rejoice Sunday. It's the midway point in our Lenten penitential journey. So I always feel it's a time for a little light relief rather than some heavy theology, you know, a little break halfway through. And you know, even Jesus experienced a little light relief in the middle of his long journey to the cross from the usual antagonism that he got from the religious authorities. And so, for example, in Friday's Gospel, a scribe engaged him in a civilized conversation about which was the greatest of the commandments and was extremely impressed with the answers that Jesus gave, concluding surprisingly that he was right in what he was saying. And then Jesus in turn to him said, you know, you're not far from the kingdom. It was most unusual because normally a scribe would be trying to trick him into saying something to incriminate himself, which then of course could be used against him later on. Another light relief for him was his encounter with the Pharisee Nicodemus that we just heard about in the Gospel, who came to him in the dead of night when it was dark, hoping no doubt that no one from the Sanhedrin would see him creeping in. But that encounter with Christ took him out of the dark and into the light, so much so that he was the one, you might remember, who tried to persuade the Sanhedrin not to condemn Jesus to death. And he also helped Joseph of Arimathea to take Jesus down from the cross for his burial. So he was obviously out there. He became the man who, Jesus says, lives by the truth and comes out into the light so that it may be plainly seen that what he does is done in God. And so there you have it, you know, a couple of rare bright spots in the ever-increasing darkness, which at this time is creeping up on Jesus as his passion draws near. And as I said at the beginning, today's also Mother's Day, of course, and a little light relief for us in Lent somberness, the halfway point. And on Thursday, I asked the year twos what made Mum special. One said, she pays the bills. The other one says, she does the washing up. But best of all was, she makes sure you're not faking it when you say you're ill and don't want to go to school. Isn't that brilliant? So not to downplay in any way at all the vital contribution that a father makes to the life of a family, I think it's fair to say that in most families, it is the mother who is the heartbeat of the home. And certainly that was always true of my own family. My own mother, God rest her, was the life and soul of our family, and the day she died, a great light was extinguished. As a little boy, you know, she would say to me, how much do you love me? She used to love saying that. How much do you love me? And I used to go, that much, okay? And I said, when I grow up, I'll buy you a big house and a car and a fur coat. Of course, we didn't know about animal rights in those days, did we? It was like a bargaining chip, you know, you do all this for me now and I'll pay you back later when I grow up. But surprise, surprise, when I grew up, I couldn't get a grant to study for the priesthood at Valladolid because the council said I could have done that course in England. I said, no good trying to explain to them that training for the priesthood is not doing a course, you know. So I became a penniless student. The diocese used to give me £50 a year, so guess who had to support me through seminary years. Even as a young priest when I was ordained, I rarely returned from my day off at home without a £5 note surreptitiously slipped into my hand in that way that Irish people have. They don't want you to know, you know, it's really lovely. And that was to pay for my petrol. So, of course, I never did buy the fur coat, and the nearest I got to buying her a car was taking her out for a drive not long before she died in my 10-year-old Ford Cortina, which had a broken starter motor, so I had to disappear underneath to turn it over with a spanner in order to start the car. And although that journey was a precious, unforgettable time together, it was marred slightly by the fact that she was the world's worst backseat driver, constantly telling me to slow down and to mind that child. I don't know how I managed to drive back to Preston on my own. It was amazing. My father was always just as loving and giving, and when I joined the army, I had a salary for the first time in my life. My dad was an old age pensioner then, so I sometimes sent him a gift of money, but he would keep it for me and give it back to me when I came on leave, saying, you need it more than I do, son, which actually wasn't true, you know. I soon came to realize that most of us will never be able to fully repay our parents for all they did and sacrificed for us over the years, especially for giving us the greatest gift of all, which is our faith. And the amazing thing is that they know that, and they knew it all along. They never expected repayment. All they asked of us, maybe specifically or certainly in their mind, was that we learn from them to share our love with others as they shared their love with us. And it's the same message, of course it is, that our Holy Mother, the Church, our Mother, the Church, gives us all the time. What more could Jesus have done or sacrificed to prove how much our Heavenly Father loves us? We'll never be able to repay it. But what we can learn from it, as we did from our parents, is to walk in his ways, to love God and our neighbour as ourself. Or as St. Richard of Chichester famously puts it, to ask for the grace to see you more clearly, to love you more dearly, and to follow you more nearly, day by day.